I want to speak on a topic today that we don't hear too much about anymore. And yet, it has a place in our society today because it is a very much part of human nature today. But it all belongs out there and it can be misused. But it all began long before man was created. So over the years, we have noticed through the news media the sharp increase in world violence. With midterm general elections scheduled for the fall of this year, U.S. citizens have entered the time of the year when we all will be bombarded with news from both political parties designed to fan the flames of anger, partnership, politicalship. It will be a season of character assassination. You know, words mean a lot. Words can hurt. And words can heal. Words have meanings. For the sermon today, I want to examine a word that could be applied in two different ways. The word is jealousy. I do during our lifetime, all of us has experienced a period in one way or another, some type of jealousy. So the word jealousy, according to the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, says this: jealousy is the emotion of a single-minded devotion, which, when turned upon the self, produces hatred or envy of others, or when turned beyond the self, produces overpowering zeal to total selfishness. So we could easily say, for better understanding of the word, that jealousy could be rendered as having two sides. One side we don't want to have any part of. So for the sermon title today will be Jealousy, a Two-Sided Coin. Jealousy, a Two-Sided Coin. Zeal and jealousy are opposite sides of the same coin. Both of them are driven by passion. One is positive and the other is negative. One is for and the other is against. The scriptures brings to life several stories that deals with jealousy. We know that uncontrolled jealousy can bring on a lot of problems. A lot of mistrust and confusion. Physical behavior, anger, lust, bitterness, decay, separation, and the list could go on and on. The Bible gives many examples of jealousy and the results from it. So the question we want to consider today comes to mind then, is jealousy a sin? And should a Christian be involved with jealousy? We said that this coin has two sides, a positive side and a negative side. Jealousy did not begin with Cain and Abel, as some may think. Because we know that's when the first human confrontation started. Cain rose up and slew his brother, Abel. And it was all because it started out with being jealous. Jealousy did not start with Cain and Abel. It started long, long time before. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Now, food for thought here. Something happened. Something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. We know that God did not create this universe in the condition that is described in verse 2 of this chapter. God created the earth perfect and beautiful and ready to be inhabited. How do we know that? Well, God said so. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 18. But thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So just mentioning then again verse 2, of Genesis 1, we saw that the earth was in a chaotic condition. Darkness was over the earth. God did not create that in that condition. When we look at closely at verse 2, knowing that the earth was created in a perfect condition, we must ask ourselves, how could this be? See, brethren, we don't know, and the Bible doesn't tell us the amount of time that went by between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. It's a long span of time that something happened there. It could have been thousands and thousands of years. We don't know. But what we do know is some type of chaos happened. The Bible commentary of Old Testament says, verse 2 describes a chaos. There was a waste and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The clause in verse 2 are apparently circumstantial to verse 3, telling the world's condition when God began to renovate it. It was a chaos of waste, emptiness, and darkness. Such condition would not result from God's creative work. This is the statement from Bible Knowledge Commentary of the Old Testament. But what it's saying is, No, all of this chaos happened after God created the universe in verse 1. When we come to verse 2, that is speaking of God's renovation of the earth, like starting over again. But there is a gap between these two verses. What happened? What happened between these two verses? Well, let's turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. We begin reading in verse 9. And war broke out, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. He deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So why was there a war? Why did the war take place? One thing we can see and understand is this. And the scriptures backs this up. Sin begins in the mind. Now, we don't know how long that Satan was right there in the mist. He was there around God's throne. But we don't know how long he was there to just plan all of these plans that he had in his mind. But the thing that developed with this, that it became a sin to him. So Lucifer, created perfect, full of wisdom and beauty, he was made with precious stone as part of his body. He had an exalted position as the covering cherub. He walked with God, and he walked and saw all of God's movements, apparently. But he became filled with pride, which is the first ingredient of jealousy. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm going to read these verses from the NIV, Ezekiel chapter 28. Begin reading in verse 14 from the NIV. And it says, you were anointed as the guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. And God saying this, and I thought, well, how wonderful it would be to be ordained by God. It says, I ordain you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Verse 16. Though your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and used sin. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and expelled you, O guardian cherubim, from among the fiery stone. Now, what was this widespread trade that Satan had here? Well, what he did, he went through congregation of the angels and spread gossip. When we look up the word translation here, widespread, we find that that's just carrying on, you know, conversation of things that's not true. So he delivered a lot of gossip among the angels and caused them to turn against God. So verse 17 says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. So Satan was supremely intelligent. He was an intelligent being, full of beauty and wisdom and authority and power. But because he could not control his thoughts, led him to want to become the CEO, if you will, of the earth. He wanted to rule the earth. So let's notice some more of this scheme that went through and how Satan tried to overthrow God. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Again, reading in verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But his jealousy drove him to try and take over the throne of God. So we can see from verses 13 through 14 all of the I wills. I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit on the mount of the congregation, I will exalt his throne above the stars of God. All of these were a scheme to fulfill his jealousy. Now, these stars mentioned here are not the stars that we see at night when we look up into the elements, when we gaze up into the sky. These stars refers to angels. Let's notice Job 38. Job chapter 38. And verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This was a time when God finished the creation in Genesis 1, verse 1. Not the recreation mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So as we mentioned before, sin starts in the mind. So we can see from reading and studying the scriptures that envy and jealousy can travel together. This means that when we are feeling jealous, we could become envious as well. We don't know how long Lucifer, Satan, ended God's position. But what we do know, he became jealous of God and his position and authority. But how do we know this? We know this from reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures that we just read from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Jealousy is related to desiring what belongs to others. It's centered around resentment of other people's blessing. Brother, this is the other side of the two-sided coin. Please turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So John sends a strong message from these verses of Scripture, and it takes us back to the Ten Commandments. But first, let's notice these verses from the New Living Translation. Read these verses from the New Living Translation. Starting with verse 15, it says, "Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you." Verse 16, "For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure." When I read this, I thought, well, how true. The world only offers lust for physical pleasure. The lust of everything we see, the pride of our possession, these are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. In verse 17, "And this world is fading away, along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever." Now, let's take a closer look at the message from John and see how the Ten Commandments apply to his message. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 21. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 21. "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor." So we have here the 10th commandment. To covet means to desire. Jealousy is the inner part of desire. Now remember the statement, because we will come back to this later. But let's notice James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15. James has given us information here as just to how jealousy can easily be involved with us. James 1 and verse 14, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, brings forth death. Now, the contemporary English version translation says this. It says, "O foolish pride," talking about us, so he says, you know, our foolish pride comes from this world, and so do our selfish desire. And our desire to have everything we see, none of this comes from the Father. One writer says this, "The world offers only the lust of physical pleasure." Brethren, God's law absolutely tells us what we should not lust after. God gives us wonderful gifts of imagination. But if we feed dirt by our eyes, wrong thoughts by our minds, and to our imagination, then our imagination will become filthy. Sin begins when we allow the imagination of what we desire dwell on, and we do nothing about repenting of it. This is what James is trying to tell us in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. Notice what Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippi, which is gives us the things that we should occupy our minds with. Philippians chapter 4. This is what Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." This is what we see here. A time for meditation. A time that we can fill our minds with these things. What we put into our minds determines what comes out in words and action. Paul tells us to program our minds and thoughts that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Brethren, you and I must examine ourselves daily. See the things we put into our minds through television, books, magazines, movies, conversations. Let's pray and seek God's help in replacing these harmful inputs with wholesome material that will help us develop the Christian character that is pleasing to God. Jealousy uncontrolled can be one of the most dangerous common emotions. But why is jealousy so dangerous? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Verse 4. His wrath is cruel, and anger is torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? We mentioned before, but recap, you know, jealousy will cause separation of family and friends, cause a lot of strife and suffering for years to come. Let's look at an example here. This in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We will begin reading in verse 1. Genesis 13, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Verse 2, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Verse 3, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also went with Abram. He had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram, livestock, and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So here we have, you know, two great men of wealth. Both was wealthy. Both had herds. They became a jealousy between the two herdsmen. So here's what and how they solved the problem. Verse 8 says, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren. And this is a good thought for us to, you know, keep in mind. We all are brethren. Verse 9, it says, and is it not the whole land before you? So he's saying, you know, we don't need to have strife. Look out. Look at all the land that is out there before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. He's showing him a way out. You know, there's no use to feud and fight and you know, have a lot of problems. We'll just, you know, separate. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So that was a good way to do. I mean, this is what we must do. When things are heating up, just separate from that situation. Well, jealousy can also cause pain and suffering. And there probably was some suffering for Abram to leave his brother Lot, and they go their separate ways. When suffering comes about, and we all remember the story of Joseph, how his brother became jealous of him and planned to kill him. But they sold him into slavery, and you know the story, not telling their father the truth about what happened to Joseph, brought sorrow and pain on their father many, many days. And there was years involved before Jacob really knew the truth. So let's notice this. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we begin reading in verse 31. Genesis chapter 37, verse 31. Here's what the brothers did, as they were so jealous of Joseph. They threw Joseph in the pit, which is bringing up the date here. And when one of the brothers came back to the pit to rescue him, he was gone. But the other brothers knew the caravan had came by earlier, and so they sold Joseph into slavery. So this is what the brothers did to cover up what they had done to Joseph. Verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed the kid, the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "This is what Jacob said." He said, "I recognize this." And Jacob said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all of his sons and all of his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "I shall go down into the grave to my sons, to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. We could say, you know, all of this was unnecessary. Put this old man through all of this chaos. But it happened because it started with jealousy and with the intent in that jealousy to kill their own brother. So years went by before Jacob knew the truth about his son Joseph, and we know that during the famine in Egypt that the brothers came down to buy grain and finally got everything straightened out, and they brought their father down to, and he embraced Joseph and was very, very glad. We said in the beginning, jealousy is a two-sided coin. We saw one side of the coin, what it can produce. What about the other side? Talked about one side. What about the other side? As human beings, from time to time, we too can develop jealousy. And uncontrolled jealousy can become a sin. So, brethren, we must develop in ourselves and always make sure we have a godly jealousy. It's good to have a godly jealousy. And as I was reading an article that was printed, that the individuals were making comments about it, and they didn't have the truth, so they didn't understand it. Because it was talking about, jealousy is a sin. I thought, well, I need to look into this because, you know, we know that God is jealous. And God don't sin. But what are they talking about? Why didn't they explain this? So, We must have a godly jealousy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We go back to the commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. God says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, but that is in the water under the earth. Verse 9. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the fourth to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So God wants a genuine relationship with us. God wants us to know Him. He knows that if we put anything other than Him at the center of our lives, we will not reach our potential and become all that He wants us to be. This is godly jealousy. God is jealous for us. I'll repeat this. God is jealous for us, not jealous of us. God is not jealous of us. He is jealous for us. Let's notice this continued in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle Paul, giving instructions here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we begin reading verse 2 through 6. Verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes, preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostle, even though I am trained in speech, yet I am in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things." So Paul says, you know, he's not an eloquent speaker at all. But he's trained in knowledge. He has the understanding of God's way. What was Paul's motivation for teaching and guiding the church? What was his object? An objective of his jealousy. Was he trying to surround this small group of people in Philippi for his own desires, that he would have this little small group? No, absolutely not. Paul was eagerly desirous to do everything in his God-given power. He sent the church, the Christ, is a chaste virgin He was closely watching over those people with a godly jealousy. So it was just like we just read there in the commandments. The reason God gave us this instruction, He doesn't want us straying out and getting involved with all other problems. He wants us to follow His ways. So He's jealous in that regard. So in conclusion, God has no reason to be jealous of us or anything else. He doesn't have any reason to do that. But He certainly has a burning desire for us. So what is the motive and objective of God's jealousy? In seeking to reproduce Himself, God is preparing a bride for His Son. Jesus trusts His Father. He knows that He is a jealous God. And His jealousy is directed toward Him and the perfecting of His bride, the church. The Father desires that we be given a spirit body filled with His mind and power. God is eager to give us His only Son in wedlock, restoring on us His family name, and making us heirs of the everlasting kingdom of God. So again, jealousy is a two-sided coin. But brethren, let us seek after having godly jealousy.